Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Well, now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A floating ramp is being used to preserve a Welsh hill fort. Excavations prove that Izmir was in fact much older than previously thought. And studies show that Ötzi the Iceman probably had no modern relatives. The earliest example of Hebrew writing is found in a potsherd, and a 7,000-year-old mound is excavated in Iran after reappearing from a watery grave. The excavation of a 4,000-year-old workshop continues at Macau, and Sumatran archaeologists find prehistoric stone axes. Çatalhöyük is now protected by a large roof. And finally, you just can't make this up, as a young couple find a phallic object in Denmark. Vital work has been carried out to prevent erosion damage to a historic hill fort in Wales as part of a lottery-funded project, footpath improvement and erosion control work. A floating ramp is being built over the large earth banks at Moel Arthur Hillfort on the Clwydian Range to help protect them from damage. A wooden frame is under construction into which stones are set to provide a safe walking surface without any disturbance to the ground or the archaeology below. It's also claimed that the project will provide an environment for better sheep grazing and upland bird species. New excavations have revealed that Izmir in Turkey, once believed to be around 5,000 years old, may be as old as 8,500 years. Associate Professor Zafar Derin, the head of the excavation team, said in a statement that his team had removed 150 artefacts at the Yashlova Tumulus excavation site. Ege University has already launched a project to transform the area where the Yashlova Tumulus is located into an educational centre by reenacting life in the area in the past. The project called Time Travel is developed as a European project with a large input from Sweden. The archaeological area will first be visited and explained to students, and then the students will participate in experimental excavations at the archaeology park itself. Students will also be wearing clothes from the era and have a chance to experience the conditions during prehistory. Ötzi, Italy's prehistoric iceman, probably does not have any modern-day descendants, according to a recent study. A team of Italian and British scientists who sequenced his mitochondrial DNA, which is passed down through the mother's line, found that Ötzi belonged to a genetic lineage that is either extremely rare or has died out. Although he fell into a subgroup called K1, his lineage does not match any of the known K1 clusters. Professor Martin Richards from the University of Leeds confirmed that Ötzi belonged to a previously unidentified lineage of K1 that has not been seen to date in modern European populations. The findings published in the journal Current Biology reverse his previous research from 1994 on a small section of Ötzi's DNA that suggested the so-called Iceman had relatives living in Europe. He was about 46 years old when he met his violent death. Examinations revealed that he had been wounded by an arrow and then possibly finished off with a mace blow to the face. That would indicate that Ötzi did not simply freeze to death while climbing on these high mountains. Actually, I'm not surprised he doesn't have any living relatives if that's the way he popped his clogs. Five lines of ancient script on a shard of pottery could be the oldest example of Hebrew writing ever discovered. The shard was found by a teenage volunteer during a dig about 20 kilometres southwest of Jerusalem. Experts at Hebrew University said dating showed it was written around 3,000 years ago, which is about 1,000 years earlier than the Dead Sea Scrolls. Other scientists have cautioned, however, that further study is needed to understand it. Preliminary investigations since the shard was found in July have deciphered some words, including judge, slave and king. The characters are written in Proto-Canaanite, a precursor of the Hebrew alphabet. The shard and other artifacts were found at the site of Kirbet Kaifa, overlooking the valley of Elah, where the Bible says the Israelite David fought the Philistine giant Goliath. Mr. Garfinkel said that findings could shed significant light on the period of King David's reign. In carbon-14 analysis, a burnt olive pits found in the same layer as the site as the pottery shard helped archaeologists date it to between 1000 and 975 BCE, the same time as the biblical golden age of King David. Archaeologists were given a second chance by drought to excavate the Mer al-Tapa at the reservoir of Mola Sandradam in southern Iran. The 7,000-year-old mound and many other ancient sites were recently submerged after Mola Sandradam began filling the reservoir in May 2006. The Mer al-Tapa has reappeared following a period of dry weather over the past few months, and a team of archaeologists recently returned to the site. Team director Alireza Sardari said that it was an ideal opportunity to resume archaeological excavations at the site, continuing work onto the lower strata which had been submerged before they'd managed to reach it. The large amount of artifacts indicate that Mer al-Tapa had been one of the more important prehistoric sites of the region. They hope to reach the lowest cultural strata of the mound in order to examine the earliest habitations of the site before it goes beneath the waters again. Archaeologists are planning to return to Macau to excavate up to 3,000 square metres on Koloane Island following the discovery of a 4,000-year-old workshop at the site. Director of the Centre for Chinese Archaeology and Art at the University of Hong Kong said there was still a lot of work to be done at the site that was first excavated in the late 1970s. The first of five digs was carried out by the Hong Kong Archaeological Society in the late 1970s, and the last dig carried out in conjunction with them and Macau University happened in 2006. The finds made in 2006 provided the evidence of the daily life of prehistoric people, including burnt clay, a hearth, pottery shards and a quartz ornaments workshop, with quartz cobbles, blanks, flakes, a hammer, borer and tools for polishing stones. The former president of the Hong Kong Archaeological Society, William Meacham, who led the early digs, said it was a very rich site that went down around 2 metres. And at the time of the first dig, Koloan Island was relatively undeveloped. And the team found Neolithic pottery within actually 5 minutes of starting the excavation. The island now, however, is much more developed. It's unknown what is left. So we just have to see what happens and what is found. Archaeologists from North Sumatra found 3 prehistoric stone axes during an excavation in the land fortress site of Putri Hijau. The team consisted of the Medan Archaeological Association, History and Social Sciences Studies Centre of Medan State University, and Aceh's Preservation of Archaeological Remains Association. They conducted research for 5 days, from October the 21st to the 25th. The findings prove that there was a prehistoric settlement in the area and that all 3 trenches provided evidence towards this. Çatalhöyük, Turkey's most famous Neolithic site, is one of the oldest known areas of human settlement, animal domestication and wheat cultivation in the world. The Cultural and Tourism Ministry's Cultural Assets and Museums General Manager Orhan Düzgün announced that the roof's construction, which began in June of this year, has now been finished. The roof is made of a specially laminated wood and will protect the historical site and the archaeological work going on there from damage resulting from exposure to the elements. The roof was constructed with an eye for aesthetics as well, in a design beneficial to both tourists and archaeologists working there. Çatalhöyük is a major tourist attraction now, as well as a major archaeological site, and recent excavation on the Neolithic site under the leadership of British professor Ian Hodder, which began in 1993, has continued intermittently ever since. Discoveries so far made at the 9,000-year-old site include wall paintings, seals, and cooking and eating utensils decorated with various painted and carved figures. And finally, a young couple walking along Horsens Fjord in Denmark in August this year made a sensational discovery, a 5,000 to 7,000-year-old stone with a carved motif. The carved motif was one of a man with an erect phallus between 2 fishes. archaeologists at Horsens Museum were taken aback, quite literally, and immediately passed the stone on to the National Museum of Denmark to determine whether the motif was indeed from the Stone Age or simply a later work of art using an ancient style. They now believe that the stone was from the Ertebola culture between 5400 and 3900 BCE. Apart from its phallic representation, the man in the motif seems to have some form of headdress on with animal ears, possibly some sort of traditional shaman. Well, I have to say it's hard not to think that there's an early joke involved here involving two fish and a donkey, but I'll stop there. Remember that in around about 6 days' time, on the 10th of November, the latest issue 5 of the Past Horizons magazine will be coming out, which is absolutely packed with new and exciting news from around the world about conservation and archaeological sites and places that you, as a volunteer, can get involved in. So that'll be coming out on the 10th of November. It's at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. Remember that there's a fabulous news site in America, Preservation Today, so it's www.preservationtoday.com. And of course, there's always my own site, which is undergoing a bit of a revamp just now to bring more information and more resources to people. That's at Badger, www.bajr.org. And of course, more can always be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks so much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return and listen to more next week.